have heard me talk about this quite a few times. We have this U.S. Senate race coming up. You've heard me talk about this blood oath that basically was entered into between Julia Letlow, a candidate for U.S. Senate, and Donald Trump. And we haven't really seen it tested yet. And I was kind of looking through the internet to see where she was on this anti-weaponization fund, this $1.8 billion fund that the Trump administration, as a result of a compromise of the settlement of a lawsuit against the IRS, wanted to establish. So folks that feel like that the federal government was overreaching or too proactive in their prosecution of them, that they would be able to reach out and receive some compensation from your tax dollars, right? And it, and we always kind of forget to connect that dot. You know, we talk about this money as though it falls out of the sky. There's money trees instead of cherry trees in D.C. And, you know, we just go run around picking dollars off branches. I was proud that John Kennedy and others, obviously Bill Cassidy and the Speaker of the House, came out against this fund and basically are telling the Trump administration, you've lost your mind. There's no way that we're going to be in favor of this. And this is, although we don't see it very often, the type of independence that one would expect that our members of Congress, our elected officials, representing the state of Louisiana, and as the fiscal stewards of your tax dollars that are paid in federal income taxes and other fees and everything else, should be protecting, right? And the Attorney General, Todd Blanche, before a committee the other day, said that this, they're not moving forward with the fund, period. That's it. Was asked several different ways, not moving forward ever. Correct. The problem is, they always leave themselves a little escape, a little caveat, right? Not willing to commit it to revoking the fund in writing. And has made other statements that this pending court action, where they anticipate getting a decision, I think, around June 12, that may have some influence in the future as to how they're going to ultimately deal with this. Now, this whole situation arises out of this lawsuit that the president, Donald Trump, has filed against the IRS for releasing his income tax returns. Obviously, the Democratic Party has been looking to get these income tax returns. It became an issue in the election that he was able to take all kinds of write-offs and things of that nature. Well, if it's in the tax code and he exercises what's in the tax code and he takes advantage of those provisions, so what? So what? If you don't like it, change the law. Plain and simple. I don't know why anybody thinks there's a just criticism for people taking advantage of what's provided for in a tax code. Congress voted for it. If those Democratic members of Congress don't like the fact that that's what he did, maybe they need to, as the president pointed out, look to their folks that are giving them boatloads of money to see whether or not they're taking advantage of it as well. And they are. And members of Congress are taking advantage of it too. I mean, that's the true irony here, is, again, we're involved in the spin. It's about them and not about us. Right? And we'll continue to play this little silly game over and over again. But where I'm at now is, I don't know why we're allowing this compromise to take place at all. Let's just prosecute the claim. Let's go to court. Trump believes that he's an aggrieved party. They released his income tax returns contrary to law. It was a contractor working for the IRS that did so. There's no question about that. That's been proven. And let's see what the valuation of this is. It's certainly not $230 million that he's asking for. But let's figure out what it is. How has he been impaired? Let's let him bring forward his best evidence to support his claim. Because this is the real problem here. They put this allure of this $1.8 billion fund out there. And I'm not the typical, you know, person, the Machiavellian individual that's always looking for the conspiracy, the sub-conspiracy, the backroom operation. But I am about this. Because in the end, Donald Trump's leaving with something more valuable than that $1.8 billion fund that he was going to create for others. He would not be able to avail himself of drawing upon any money out of that fund. But what he did avail himself from is that he would receive audit protection for his transactions for his returns, memorializing his transactions for a fairly lengthy period of time. We're not exactly sure because nobody's talking about, you know, the devil, which are the details, right? But what we're talking about is this immunity that he's going to get. He, his family members, and individuals that he has transacted business with, but we don't even know who they are. We don't have the list. We don't know any of this. We don't know who is going to come under this ambit of protection of this immunity deal that's been concocted. And that's being polite. This whole thing was a BS operation from the beginning, in my view, in order for him to get this. This is much more valuable than anything else out there. It was initially reported that he may even have immunity for future acts. Well, the AG says, well, no, that's not the case. Okay, well, when we see it in writing and we see the deal in writing, and there's been no assurances made that that actually was going to ever be revealed, I don't know about you, but my first reaction is that, Houston, we got a problem. The fix is in. Why is it that every time we get involved in these things, there's always something sinister and doesn't smell right about these deals? I mean, it's absolutely incredulous to me. Nothing seems to go easy with any of this. We're overreaching, we're trying to achieve things, we're trying to sanitize ourselves from any prosecution, you know, or anything else. And they have the audacity to say that this is not out of the ordinary. What? I've talked to folks about this that deal with the IRS all the time. This is not ordinary. They don't throw these types of immunities out there for settlement of a lawsuit because some contractor revealed tax documents? How is he impaired? What are his true damages? So we're going to give him an immunity, obviously, that he really wants for some reason. You know, where we don't even know, we as taxpayers, we don't even know what the potential value is of any potential liability that he may have. We're just going to wave this magic wand and he's going to get this immunity. His family's going to get the immunity as well, all of his family members, as well as those that he's transacted business with. Now, I'm glad that Republicans and Democrats have gone after this $1.8 billion fund. But let's not stop there. Let's insist that he prosecute his claim. Let's direct the Attorney General to say, no, we're not going to compromise this. We're not going to settle it. We're going to go to court. And then let's just go to court and see, let the chips fall where they may. I don't know about you, but I'm done with this. I am done with this. And our elected officials in this state, they should be done with it as well. This is a crock. I think this whole thing was throw the carrot out there, the $1.8 billion fund, unheard of. Not unheard of that we're protect, that we want to protect people, right? Because let me just remind you about, you know, what the Biden family did, right? In fact, Jill Biden has just come out, you know, with this new book and admits the reason that we did the pardon for Hunter and all of these other people is we feared that, you know, this administration might go after them. Well, if they violated the law, they should go after them. I mean, I can understand your fear if you violated the law, right? But why would that be a justification for the president to create this immunity for these folks for their dastardly deeds? I mean, is that where we are in Washington today now? All we're concerned about is CYA. Immunity's running all over the place. We can go up there and engage in whatever activity we want, trade on insider information. There's new reports, you know, in advance of the Dell deal that all kinds of people all of a sudden found the Dell stock so attractive they couldn't help themselves and they were dropping millions of dollars on Dell. I mean, this is craziness. Stop talking about handcuffing yourselves that you and me and everyone else in this country, we would go to jail for this activity in a heartbeat. You think anybody would be talking about giving you immunity? You think anybody would be crafting a deal with the IRS for you to not go to jail? You got to be kidding me. They're hanging out citizens every single day of the week. So why would we not hang out the number one alleged citizen, the president of the United States, prosecute your claim? You think you have a valid claim? Prosecute it. We're not settling it. I don't know that we're true adversarial parties anyway. He's got control of the Department of Justice. This is a crock. Let's see where these Republicans in the state of Louisiana are going to fall on this. I would hope that somebody would ask John Fleming the question. Ms. Letlow the question. You think it's fair to give the president immunity for all of these deals? We don't know what the value of the potential claim may be. We're just going to write these blank checks and grant immunity for acts that we don't even know everything's about, but obviously they have some concern. We know what their fear is because they obviously want this. So much so that they're willing to take all kinds of criticism and put it out there. And shame on Todd Blanche. I mean, he should recuse himself. He was the president's criminal defense lawyer. And now he's going to be deciding on whether or not there's going to be immunity from criminal prosecution for his client? How does this work? I mean, it's almost at every level of government today. We have examples of it right here in Jefferson Parish where we have folks that should recuse themselves from votes because they have all kinds of familial connections to all kinds of deals that are going on and they refuse to do so. Why is that? Why is the IG and others and everybody else that should be holding their feet to the fire, why are they not going after these folks for these conflicts? We see it at the state level all the time. We just had another story with Senator Jay Morris, you know, about these land deals up there around Meta, had signed non-disclosure agreements and enacted upon the information that he was able to gain access to at some point in time. Why are we not looking into this? And then we have this. At the highest level of our government, of course, I've got all the folks that want to say that, you know, I'm playing both sides. I'm not playing a side, guys. You know, I considered the alternative. Let's make this completely transparent because I'm sick and tired of hearing it. You cast a vote for an individual based on policies. I do. Always considering the alternative. And if the alternative doesn't even come close to where I want to be in the balance of interest from a policy perspective, yes, there has been many times that I've had to hold my nose and make and cast a vote that I probably otherwise would not have made had there been a reasonable and viable alternative. And let me make it even clearer than that for all of you Democrats. In no scenario, almost none, I can say that I would have been able to cast a vote for Kamala Harris. None. Why, you ask? I don't think she had the intellectual oomph to handle the job. In fact, I was very surprised about her inability to really articulate around some of the most important issues facing this country today. I watched the way that she handled herself like a prosecutor, you know, in some of the Supreme Court nomination hearings and stuff, and I thought she was a lot smarter than what she ultimately ended up revealing through the course of the aftermath of those hearings as well as her campaign. Now, I can say that with full confidence because, unlike many of my Republican cohorts, I've actually walked across the aisle and endorsed candidates publicly and consume political capital as a Republican, and have been defrocked on three separate occasions, just as a reminder to those that I don't speak with a forked tongue. I've exhibited the willingness to step across the aisle. So yeah, you might say, oh, well, Johnny, come lately. I take it as it comes. This deal, as it has begun to reveal itself, stinks at all levels. At all levels. And our Republican leadership in this state needs to stand up and say, go prosecute your claim, Mr. President. We're not settling this. No way, no how. You believe it's worth a sum of money? Go prove it in a court of law. We'll be right back.